Our reading tonight is Proverbs chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, and can be found on page 635 of the Church Bibles. Proverbs 1, starting at verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding, proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Too short for this. Hi, if I haven't been able to meet you yet, my name's Katie, and I'm really scared, so I'm going to pray. Lord, thank you that you're here, thank you that we can be with you, and thank you for your word. Thank you that it speaks so much truth into our lives. Would you give me grace and peace to share what you want to say, and nothing more and nothing less, and let this all be for your glory. Amen. The Bible is wonderful. Can I just say that? Like, I was a kid who grew up in Jesus' literal physical footsteps, but I'm only really beginning to rediscover it in a new light. God breathed life into words on a page, and through centuries and generations they have lived, and they still live today in hearts and minds, through conversations, on a bookshelf, or the bottom of a Forever 21 shopping bag. Yeah, they did. They had John 3:16 on the bottom of their shopping bags. Well, that was fun. As I started to prepare this talk, one thought really stuck with me, and it kept coming to mind, which was, if I'm going to give a sermon, I don't like that one, it sounds really serious and official, but if I'm going to give a sermon on studying the Bible, it won't be boring. I feel like that's a really common perception that we have of the Bible. Even in church, it's kind of seen as really complicated, fairly controversial, and for quite a few bits, just boring. I mean, sometimes it's pitched as this, like, genre-filled book. It's got romance and action and family drama, and there's something for everyone. But it's so much more than that. It's so, so much more than that. So my initial interpretation of study as a discipline for spiritual growth, big words, is to dig deeper into the word. I am a huge fan of musical theatre. I don't know if anyone else is. But if I love a musical, I get hooked, and I am 100% that kid that will go and memorise all the words and then make all of her friends memorise all the words so that they can sing with me. And about a year ago, I came across a new show on Broadway called Hamilton, an American musical, and my friends are going to kill me for managing to get this into a sermon. But it's become really, really famous, and it went all over the US and won a bunch of awards, and it's in the West End now. And it's about the first Treasury Secretary of the United States of America. It sounds so boring. It sounds so boring. But it's incredible, and I really, really recommend it. So as I was working my way through memorizing 46 songs worth of lyrics, it's a lot, I began to realize how intricately complex the writing was. The website that I use to access the lyrics has an annotation feature. So the writer and various people who like it and English lit students can come and talk about the words and the melodies in more depth. I had no idea how many subtle hip-hop references were in this musical until I went and read through this stuff. The writer also explains how the melodies of certain characters will contrast and harmonize according to the storyline, whether people are getting along or there's a plot twist. And it's just done in such a deliberate and clever way, but it still manages to escape your notice unless you're looking for it. It seems like a really strange connection to make, but I think of the Bible in the same way. It's this treasure chest of wisdom. It's layered and complex, and you can take it at face value, or you can look for more meaning. It's there to be discovered and shared and savored. In the passage that was just read from Proverbs 1, in verses 2 to 4, we read about how the Proverbs help people attain knowledge and insight and understanding. Now, that's true for the Proverbs, but I believe that that's true for all of the Bible. It may not all have a here and now application. Don't go to Numbers if you're looking for that. But as I've been studying it, through reading it off the page, or hearing it taught, or listening to a commentary, or talking about it with friends, I've realized how much more there is to learn from it, how much more God wants to teach us from it. I love going into the Old Testament and finding all of the prophecies about Jesus. There's endless correlations, and it's really actually exciting when you find that there's parallels between stories that you've grown up with and stories and the greater narrative of Scripture and the Bible. I'm currently following a Read the Bible in 1 year plan. My mum challenged me to do it, and she's going to hate me for saying this, but I'm the only one that's kept on track. And love you. But the past 7 months have been a massive learning curve for me. I never realised how much they left out in Sunday school. The stories take on a whole new meaning, and it's far more three-dimensional when it's read straight from the book. In fact, so much of the Bible feels far more real and tangible and believable when you read it in the historical context. Many of us have had the privilege of growing up in Christian homes or just going to church, and we've kind of fallen into the trap of thinking that we know all there is to learn from the Bible. There's definitely that mentality amongst mission kids and pastor's kids, so I'm definitely in that boat. But let's kind of dig ourselves out of it a little bit. Read and study the word, dig deeper, go find out what actually happened. They do leave out a lot in Sunday school, I'm not joking. For studying the books of the Bible in particular, one study tool I love is a series of videos called The Bible Project. I think a couple have been used in church already, but essentially they're animated illustrations of the books of the Bible, which explain the format and the message of the book. They've got audio commentary over the top, and they have a general overview of what goes down in each chapter or group of chapters. For example, through these videos, I learned that many of the books of the Bible are structured symmetrically, like they might start and end with a poem of praise. I had no idea that in a part of Lamentations, which is the book in the Old Testament full of lament poems for Israel during their exile to Babylon, every verse began with a new Hebrew letter in alphabetical order, so A, B, C, but in Hebrew. I had no idea. Scripture is such a gorgeous, detailed patchwork of words that sometimes we'll only discover if we just dig deeper and really commit to studying it and searching for that insight and those really precious truths. So, second aspect of studying as a discipline for spiritual growth is learning from each other. I'm not very good at this one. But going back to our Proverbs 1 passage from the reading earlier, in verses 4 and 5, we read how the Proverbs have been written to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. I like the Message translation because it puts it a little bit more simply. And it says, to teach the inexperienced the ropes and give our young people a grasp on reality. There's something here also for seasoned men and women, still a thing or two for the experienced to learn. The beauty of the worldwide diverse church is that everyone has something to learn and everyone has something to bring to the table. God created us in such a way that we each have a very unique approach to his word. I'm from Jerusalem. I was born and raised there, as was most of my family. And our approach to scripture and Bible stories heavily relies on our experience from coming from the region. Certain stories or events may stand out to us more than they would to someone from Norway or Texas or Reigate, maybe. For example, to me, it's a big deal that Jesus spoke to women in public. It may not seem like a big deal to some people, but for me, knowing that I have a savior who reached out beyond the cultural norms of gender hierarchy and made one woman feel like she was seen and known is really, really significant. For someone who's lived their whole life in North Korea or in some other place under persecution, like Kate was saying during the prayers, it may mean the world to them that they get access even to a few pages of the Bible to read over and to memorize and to read over and memorize and memorize and memorize again before they have to get rid of it. That appreciation for scripture is often lost on those of us who've grown up, you know, with the privilege of having a Bible in every room of the house. So without a doubt, the Bible's for everyone, but we all have so much to learn from each other in our study of it. I don't know how many of you have watched the film My Big Fat Greek Wedding, but in it, there's this recurring joke with the lead character's father. He insists that every word or practice derives from something Greek, and he stubbornly tries to find the Greek root for everything. Now, I find this absolutely hilarious, mostly because it sounds exactly like my dad. He learned Hebrew as a young adult. He had Arabic, but he learned Hebrew on top of that, and through it, he was opened up to a whole world of biblical knowledge because he could understand the original meaning of a word in its specific context. So whenever I was home and we'd be walking or driving around having a conversation, it was very common of him to insert little comments of, did you know that such and such word actually comes from such and such root? Or did you know that the name of this place actually means X, Y, and Z? And so through his insight and knowledge, I've learned so much more about scripture and interpreting it or studying it. Having said that, though, he liked making similar comments when we had, like, visiting guests or tourists, except for the most part it was complete nonsense that he'd made up on the spot. And we all enjoyed about 5 minutes of being thoroughly entertained by the fact that they thought he was being serious. I'm sorry if that's you. But in hopefully not too much of a roundabout way, the main point here is this. Let's study together in cell groups or life groups or a random Tuesday evening. In Colossians 3:16, Paul writes to the church in Colossae, which was near Ephesus, and he says, let the word of Christ, or in the Alexandrian version, it says the word of God, which means scripture, dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. He goes on to say, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. But let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Again, in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 14 to 17, Paul writes, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. It's a lot of big words. Basically, the Bible is helpful. It's good. God so wants us to get stuck in his word together as a church. It's great to be taught. It's great to have teaching on the word, to have stuff explained to us, to be given more context. But it's also good to speak out, to ask questions, to have discussions, to share thoughts, to approach it from a new angle. To treat the Bible as what it is, alive and powerful, speaking to and through us all in new and unique ways through which we can bless each other and be blessed. I feel like I've rushed through this. I don't know how I'm doing for time. But my third and final observation on studying as a discipline for spiritual growth is to make room for the Spirit. Doesn't sound really obvious when you think about reading the Bible, but bear with me. This one will be short and sweet, despite technically deserving a completely separate talk. But I'd just like to read you an excerpt from a daily devotional that I read a few weeks ago, which for me really hits the nail on the head at this point. The author writes, whatever your personality, spiritual disciplines are tools that lift our eyes from our circumstances and desires and focus our hearts on God's presence. True spiritual growth is rooted in the Spirit's work in us, not in our effort. God is the giver, we are the recipient. He empowers and we surrender. We do this individually as God's daughters and sons, and we do this corporately as his children and church. It doesn't seem like an obvious point to make. I know I said that. But I found this in my Read the Bible in 1 year plan, because there's lots of times where I actually just really don't want to read the Bible. Lamentations was tough. I'm almost done with the Old Testament, and I'm so happy. I mean, I've learned a lot, but I'm so happy. Maybe you find it really difficult to even open the Bible. Perhaps it feels a bit old and stale and irrelevant. I know once I opened mine randomly onto the book of Job and closed it after what may have been 5 of the most depressing minutes of my life. But feeling guilty about how little we read the Bible accomplishes absolutely nothing in helping us to begin studying it. I'm not some expert theologian who knows the order of all of the Old Testament books or the New Testament books, and I'm certainly not a leading authority on God's word by any stretch of the imagination. But I do know this. If you pray and invite the Holy Spirit to come speak to you and reveal itself through the Bible, all there's left to do is open the book. And it's not so scary or daunting or boring. If you're unsure of where to start, begin with the Gospels. I know everyone says this, but it's really useful. John is nice. Go to Acts, Matthew, Luke. Stay clear of Revelation for a while. Read about Jesus and work your way back. It may take some time to feel like you're getting into it. That's okay. I've genuinely lost count of how many times I've fallen asleep over my phone in the middle of my daily Bible reading. It's called a discipline for a reason, but please feel free to ditch any negative connotations that word holds. The Bible is wonderful. God breathed life into words on a page, and through centuries and generations they've lived, and they still live in hearts and minds, through conversations, on a bookshelf, or the bottom of a Fred 21 shopping bag. And I've sped through this. I hope you got something, but I'm just going to finish with praying. Father, thank you for your beautiful, beautiful word. Thank you that in it you promise us that if we seek you, we will find you. So Lord, would you reveal yourself to us through your word? Holy Spirit, would you give us new eyes to read it with, that we would see the Bible as what it truly is, exciting, equipping, and powerful beyond our imagination? Would you give us a renewed desire to read and study Scripture? Amen.